Good morning. Welcome you to our service this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you here today to God's house. It's good to see everyone here today. We're going to ask that you stand with us, please, as we open our service with Jesus Saves. Stand with us as we sing this morning.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waste. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafting on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart of mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Again, welcome to our service. Let's greet each other as we sing, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, it is good to see you this morning. We welcome you to Blairland, to our service today. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube and those who listen by web radio. We welcome you to our service today. I'm glad you came to be with us today. This is the Lord's Day, and this is the day that He's made, so we rejoice and we're glad in it. We'll be preaching today from Psalm 77, and then we'll be going to the book of Exodus in Exodus 14. 13 and 14, we'll be talking about the Exodus and the Red Sea passage this morning. So we'll be talking about that. God will make a way is what I'm going to talk about today. God will make a way. So may we pray together. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that you've given to us. pray today that we'd honor you in our worship time. Lord, we just want to worship you today, focus on you. We need you. Father, we want to give you the worship that you deserve today because you are a great God. In your name we pray. Amen. Deacons will meet today at 4 o'clock, so deacons will meet today at 4.
Thank you, Pastor. One other just announcement in your bulletin, be in prayer for our students this Wednesday. We'll be see you at the pole, so they'll be gathering around their flagpoles on Wednesday morning and having see you at the pole, a time of prayer there. So just remember them this Wednesday. We're going to be singing songs of faith and aspiration as you can join in with us as we sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed In, and My Faith Looks Up to Thee. You join in with us as we sing songs of faith this morning.
Grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure. Jesus be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away. Lord, let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransom soul.
Thank you, great songs of faith and aspiration. We're going to ask that you join in with us. As Pastor's already mentioned, today is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to sing that this morning. So if you're able to stand in with us as we sing, "Today is the day that you have made."
Day you have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, trusting in what you say. Today is the day, today is the day. You have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, trusting in what you say. Today is the day, today is the day.
Be seated. Today is the day he has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. going to follow that up with "In Christ Alone, My Faith Stands." So you know this song. Sing with us as we sing this morning. He is our cornerstone.
Strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter.
We thank you for the power and the love that we can stand in your love. We thank you for the sin of all the sin that was laid at the cross. We thank you for the power of the cross and that in Christ alone we can stand. And Lord, our faith is in you and our hope is in you. We thank you for the love you have for us. Open our hearts to receive your word today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. I'm going to continue today in the series we've been in talking about trust and show you another example from the Bible about what it is to trust in the Lord. In Psalm 77, there's a man who wrote this psalm by the name of Asaph. And he had responsibility of leading the people in worship. That was his job in the Old Testament. But in Psalm 77, we see a man here who's really troubled. He's really troubled in his soul. At this point in history, Jerusalem had been devastated. The people of Israel, many of them, had been taken into the Babylonian captivity. And so he is left in Jerusalem to minister to people who are really hurting, people who have a lot of questions, people who really need to know, is there a way out of our situation here? And so what the psalmist did here, and what many of the writers of the Old Testament would do, when they needed strength that was beyond themselves, when they needed hope, when they needed to know, hey, God will help me, they would always go back to this passage that we're going to talk about today, and that is the Red Sea. They'd always go back to that. And when God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, that whole story in the book of Exodus was always what they would go back to, because that's an illustration of God making a way when we think that there is no way. So in his time of anguish, what the writer of Psalm 77 did was to turn his thoughts to the Lord. Look at Psalm 77 and verses 19 and 20. Your way was in the sea. Your path was in the great waters. And your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So he's talking about the Red Sea. And when God parted the Red Sea, the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage and they were getting ready to go into the promised land. God made a way for them. In this psalm in chapter 1, you see the anguish of his soul. Verse 1, I cried out to God. He gave ear to me. He heard my cry. He heard my prayer. In the day of my trouble, in verse 2, I sought the Lord. He said, my hand was stretched out in the night. He's sitting on the side of his bed. He's troubled. He's really at a place of disillusion and depression, and he's really needing help. So again, he talked about his trouble. He talked about his complaint in verse 3 and how his spirit was just overwhelmed. And then verse 11, you see the turning point. The turning point in Asaph's life was seen in verse 11, where he said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. What we find in this story, in the Red Sea story, and I'm going to go now to the book of Exodus. We'll be in Exodus 13 and 14, because that's where the story is found. But what you find in this story is something that I want to share with you today. And that is this. We see in this story a strategy. God has given us a method of faith here that we can process when we come to our Red Sea. Now, I don't know what your Red Sea is or what it will be, but sooner or later you're going to come to a Red Sea. It could be financial, it could be relationship, it could be, you know, situation that is beyond your control, it could be a health problem, whatever it may be. But we all are going to face those Red Seas in life. Now, in Exodus chapter 13, the last plague had come upon the land of Egypt and on Pharaoh. So after that plague, what God said is, okay, we need to move out. We need to leave Egypt. And so that's what they were going to do. The Bible is very clear to us, though, in that passage, that God led them in a different way than the shortcut. The Bible tells us in Exodus 13 that he led them the long way. In Exodus 13, 17, the Bible says that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, which would have been the shortcut, but he led them the long way around. And there was a purpose in that. But again, when we think about this story today, what I want you to get are these principles that I'm going to share with you. In Isaiah 43, 19, the Bible says, the Lord says, I, the Lord, will even make a way. Isaiah 11:15, the Lord will make a way. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, the Bible tells us there that we're to pray that God will make a way. And friends, I want you to know, God will make a way. And He'll make a way for you. The reality of the Red Sea in a word is this, that God will make a way for His people. That God will make a way when the trouble comes. God will make a way when the setbacks come in life. God will make a way. So as he looks back, as Asaph looked back on this story, then he's going to recall what God did here at the Red Sea. So he moves from disappointment, from despair, to courage. He found courage in this story. Why? Because this is a story of what God can do. And only God can part the Red Sea. And only God can part your Red Sea. It's only through God that we find the way. And so we're going to see these principles, though, that will help us. The Bible tells us that Asaph remembered the Lord. He remembered the works of the Lord. And so what he's remembering is this story that we're going to talk about today from the book of Exodus. When you see God's hand in history, you know what it's going to do for you? It's going to bring a source of comfort to your heart. See, what Asaph was saying is this. If God could do that, then God's going to make a way for me. If God could part the Red Sea for them, then God's going to part the Red Sea for me. And he found so much encouragement and he found so much, you know, comfort in that. Now, again, here's a guy who stood on the platform every worship day to lead the people in worship, but he didn't have peace in his soul. I mean, he was troubled. But he found his peace when he looked to the Lord. And he realized that it's in God's strength. And he realized that God could make a way. He found his encouragement there. When Israel came out of Egypt, and they were getting ready to go into the promised land, they came to the Red Sea. The crossing of the Red Sea was a new beginning for them. The life in Egypt was gone. God had promised them in Exodus chapter 3, look, I'm going to take you out of this land. You're not going to stay in Egypt. The Bible tells us that Israel spent 430 years in Egypt. And those were hard years down in Egypt. But the time came in God's time and God's way that he was going to take them out of the land. The Bible tells us also in Exodus 13 that what they did was this when they left the land of Egypt. In verse 19, the Bible says that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. If you remember the story of Joseph from the Bible, Joseph spent a lot of years down in Egypt. And he became the second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt. But he died down in Egypt. Before he died, he made his children promise him that they would not leave his body in Egypt, that they would take it to the land of Canaan to be buried alongside of Jacob, alongside of Abraham, alongside of those other Bible characters. And so that's what they did before they got ready to go through the Red Sea. The Bible tells us here in Exodus 13 that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Now, what's the significance of that? The significance of that was an object lesson. What God was teaching his people in this story is this, that he is faithful and that he will be true to his promises. He promised them many years ago that he would take them out of the land, and this was an object lesson to them about the faithfulness of God. You know, it took one night for God to take the people of Israel out of Egypt, but it took about 40 years for God to take Egypt out of them. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to see that. But 40 years later, when they got ready to enter in, that's what it took them. It took them 40 years. Shouldn't have taken that long. But it took them 40 years to finally get into the promised land. And the book of Deuteronomy, here's what Moses said. He said, The Lord brought you out of Egypt to bring you in, to give you a land, an inheritance. The Lord brought you out that He might bring you in. The Lord changed your life. The Lord saved you. He delivered you. He gave salvation to you in order to bring you into a new life, to a new beginning, to a whole new way of life. You see, the Red Sea experience did not end, you know, their experience with God. I mean, it went on, you know, day after day after day, and we need to understand that, I think, in our salvation. So nothing takes God by surprise. God has a plan. He knew exactly what He's doing, what He was doing here, and all that. But God led them in the right path. He led them in the path that He wanted them to go in. That great Psalm, Psalm 23 in the Old Testament, tells us this, that He will lead us in paths of righteousness. In Psalm 25, the Bible says that we trust in Him to lead us in the paths of truth. Proverbs 3, lean not to your own understanding, but, you know, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. So follow Him. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about God making a way. When it seems like there is no way. When they came to the Red Sea, behind them was Pharaoh's army. On one side of them was mountains. On the other side of them was mountains and the Mediterranean Sea. Before them was the Red Sea. So when they got in that situation, you know what they did? They started complaining. They started doubting. And they said, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? We're trapped. They were in a place where the only way that could be made, God was going to make it. God was going to open up the way. And it may be that you're at one of those places in your life where you don't know what the answer is. And you don't know how it's going to be opened. And you don't know what door to go through and all that. God will make a way. That's His promise. And that's what we see in this story. He will make a way. So God was keeping His promises, and the promise was He was going to take them into the promised land. Now, what's the principles here we can learn? Number one is this. Keep your eyes on the Lord and pray. In Exodus 14:10, the Bible says that when Pharaoh drew near to the children of Israel, what did they do? They lifted up their eyes. They're praying. They're crying out to God. The Bible says that they lifted up their eyes, which is looking to God, that they feared greatly. They were at a place where they, you know, fear had gripped them, but they needed God's help. The Bible says that they cried out to the Lord. So the first principle that we see here is prayer. And to focus on God. Don't focus on Pharaoh's army. Don't focus on the sea that's before you. But focus on the Lord. Focus on Him and pray and do that. I was running some references on this when preparing for this message today. And I wanted to find other examples in the Bible of people who cried out to God. And I had read this, but it really spoke to my heart. I knew this verse was in the Bible, but I went to Hebrews 5:7, and here's what it said, talking about Jesus. When Jesus was on this earth, the Bible says, in His days of flesh, that He cried out to the Lord, that He cried out to God the Father with tears and with agony. And so what a great example that is in the life of Christ. When He came to the Garden of Gethsemane, God had a path for Him. God the Father had a path for Him. What did He do? He followed that path. When He went to Golgotha to die on the cross for our sins, that was God's path for Him. But the Bible says that He cried out to God the Father. Just like we see here in this story of the Red Sea, see, that's what we need to do. When we need courage, when we need strength, when we think that there is no way, when we don't understand God's path. They didn't. They didn't understand God's path. They didn't understand why He didn't take them, you know, the short way. Well, the reason He didn't take them the short way is because what was going to happen was this, that Pharaoh and his army would be drowned in the Red Sea. And for that to happen, they had to go this way. They had to take this path. So God wasn't making a mistake. He knew exactly what He was going to do. And then the second principle is this. We see in verse 13 and 14 that they stay calm, confident, and give time for God to work. If you look at those verses, here's what it says. Don't be afraid. Stay calm. Stand firm. Stay confident. Be still. In other words, give God time to work. And when it was time for God to work, you know what He did? He opened up the Red Sea. The Bible tells us that they went across on dry ground. Are you giving God time to work in your situation? Be calm. Be still. Put confidence in Him. Trust Him. See, that's what they had to do. They had to put their complete trust in God. And so that's what we're learning from this story. We're learning about trust here. And then the third principle was, when we're unsure, just take that first step of faith. Just take that step of faith. And verse 15, and Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, you know, why are you just standing here? You need to go forward. Take that step. Go forward, and I will open up a way for you. You see, the Red Sea did not part until they took that step of faith. And when they took that step of faith, you know what happened? God opened the way for them. This is a lesson about faith. It's a lesson about trust. It's about putting our confidence in God and going forward in faith. Then the fourth principle is we need to envision God's presence. And you see that in verse 19 and 20 of Exodus 14. And the angel of God, who is that? That's the Lord Jesus. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. What's going on there? Well, the Lord is protecting them from Pharaoh and his army. He was leading them. He was in the front. But now when they got ready to go across, the sea had been parted. Pharaoh and his army was coming after them. Then they stood between Pharaoh and the children of Israel. What is that? That's the presence of God. That's God's presence. So we need to affirm His nearness. Affirm that in your heart. So how do you do that? Go to the Bible and read the promises of God. Read these stories. Do what Asaph did in Psalm 77. Go back to this story right here. See, that's what he's doing. He's finding that assurance in his heart and soul from the stories from the Bible of what God can do. That's how we affirm His nearness. We visualize His presence in our life. Lord, you're with me here. And then we access His nearness through prayer. So we just pray. God, we need you. We need your help, and we want your nearness to us. And then the fourth principle is, or the fifth principle, is to trust God to deliver us in His own unique way. This was a very unique miracle. God parted the Red Sea. He did that. Sometimes God works in miracles. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways. There's ways that He works that we don't understand. You've probably had those answers to prayer in your life where you just, you know, it's just a mystery. How'd God work this? Well, he did. And sometimes the way he does it is a way that is, we just don't understand it, but it worked. And God made a way. So we pray and we trust him and we put our faith in him. Now, let's bring this to a conclusion here this morning. When we have faith in God, you know what the result is? Peace. Peace. Asaph found peace for his troubled soul when he put his faith in God. And that's where we find our peace. Putting faith in God, believing in him, trusting in him to make a way. He will make a way. You know, true faith really depends on what God says. It's not how I feel. It's not my feelings. And it's not what I feel about a situation. It's not what I think about a situation. But it's what God has said. And what God has promised. And what God has promised is that he will make a way when it seems like there is no way. The Red Sea miracle was really a picture. It was a revelation of the greatness of God, the power of God, the faithfulness of God. I mean, we see that here in this story. And it gives us encouragement. That we have a God like that. We have a God who has all power. We have a faithful God. We have a God who will strengthen us in our time of need. But you know what? God has made a way. And he's made a way for us to go to heaven. And that is through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we look back at our life before we became a believer, what that really is a picture of in the Bible, it's a picture of being down in Egypt. It's a picture of being in a place of bondage. It's a picture of wanting a way out, wanting a different life, desiring salvation, desiring forgiveness of sin. And then we find the way out. And the way out to that new beginning is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When it seemed like that there was no way, look at the cross. We could not save ourselves. There's nothing we could do to merit God's grace or God's forgiveness or eternal life. It's not us. But it's what he has done for us. If you need that way out, put your faith and trust in him. As a believer today, I want you to know, God will make a way. In his time, in his plan, in his purpose, he's going to open that Red Sea for you. So don't give up. Don't quit. Trust him. Put your faith in him. And follow him. And then you'll know his peace. Circumstances may be difficult. The Red Sea may be raging. The wind may be blowing. The storm may come. But put your faith and trust in him. God will make a way. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank you for this story today from the Bible. And what a great example it is for us. In Psalm 77, we read about a man who was at a place of anxiety and desperation. But he moved from that place to a place of courage. Because he found his strength in you. And Lord, that's where our strength is found. It's not in what we can do. It's not in our plans. It's not in what we think. But it's in what you can do. And Lord, you have promised us that you will make a way for your people who are tired, for your people who are weary, for your people who need encouragement. You will make a way. Father, I don't know what the Red Sea is. It could be whatever it is. Health problems, finances, relationships, whatever it is, Lord, we know that you'll make a way. For those today who've never trusted in Jesus Christ today, you've made a way for them to be saved. You've made a way for them to experience salvation. That's through your Son, Jesus Christ. And for those who want that new beginning today, those who desire that different kind of life, may they come to you today and put their faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Appreciate you being here today. I do believe the promises of the Bible. And the promise of the Bible says God will make a way. When we think that there's no way, He makes a way in His time and His plan and His purpose for your life and my life. And we thank Him for it. So put your faith and trust in Him. And just trust Him, because He will make a way. Go this week in God's grace and His love. And may you have a good week this week.
Thank you, Pastor. We'll close with that chorus, God Will Make a Way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Closely to His side, with love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Thank you. You are dismissed.